We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What if Santa didn't need 8 reindeer to guide him through the night?
Hey, Mercedes, map me to Kalamazoo.
Okay, mapping the fastest route to Michigan.
Or what if his sleigh could get real-time weather info?
Hey, Mercedes, what's the temperature on the 25th?
22 degrees. Rooftops may be icy.
Mercedes-Benz MBUX technology hasn't made it to flying sleighs, but it's available to you on the A-Class, the GLE, or GLC. And you can get them all for an exceptional price during the Mercedes-Benz winter event.
MBUX Command simulated.
Buckle up, because Metro is bringing you the best deal in wireless. Switch to Metro and get your choice of two awesome free phones from top brands like Samsung and LG with huge HD screens and tons of memory for all your pics and videos. So hurry into Metro and get your awesome free phones only at Metro. Plus sales tax and activation fee. Requires port in an eligible number not currently active on T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Limit 4 per account or household. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, episode 99. That's right, we're just one show away from show 100. As always, we have Unmissable Opinions brought to you by the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community. Thanks again for tuning into the show. You can tap in your app and check out the show notes to subscribe. You can also find us on social media. We're on Twitter at the Barcelona Pod or at HiltonD13 for me, and on Instagram at the Barcelona Pod. Our closed Facebook group is tbpod.link/group. That's for deeper dives and discussions, and also the way for you to ask questions in La Ronda. So we don't do any paid Patreon listener questions, anything like that. Just join our closed Facebook group, tbpod.link/group, to ask those questions. As well, if you want to help the show, we do appreciate that. That's on our Patreon. That is tbpod.link/Patreon. You get the hint, tbpod.link/whatever you're looking for. Without further ado, you know who I am. I'm Dan Hilton, and joined again by my guest co-host for the day, Eric Vidal, who is a member of the Barcelona Los Angeles Peña, and more importantly, the vice president of the Peña Los Angeles. How's it going today, Eric?
Great, Dan. Thanks for having me.
Well, for everyone who's been watching, there is a buzz, there is an excitement about it. You can hear it at least already in my voice, and you're going to hear it in Eric's, that with the season beginning unofficially, not officially just yet, that is for this weekend, depending on when you're listening to this, with match day one of La Liga. And I also implore you to go over to BarcaBlog.com. We do have a La Liga preview for the rest of the teams out there. But Barcelona have already played 2 matches and have 2 trophies, as unofficial as they may be. They still are trophies. Messi is 2 for 2 as captain in winning trophies. And that, of course, being the Supercopa of Spain against Sevilla, as well as the Gamper Trophy happening just this afternoon. So the question, La Gran Pregunta, is Barca's team complete? And Eric, where we'll start with this, we're going to start by saying that we're going to put a pin in Luis Suarez's business and the forward position. At the moment, it's Luis Suarez backed up by Munir and Paco Alcácer. So we'll revisit that again. We had some questions for La Ronda because Antoine Griezmann didn't come to the club. We're going to assume, again, the forward situation is wrapped up. The main topic of our Barcelona's team completion, though, starts with Ousmane Dembele and his saga for this summer. An exhausting thing it has been, Eric, to try to navigate all the issues that the Spanish media has dredged up about Dembele, but it seems like he's here to stay, and as he's shown, at least in the 2 preseason games that he's, we'll say, rushed back for, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's important to remember also that his summer spent with France, he didn't get a lot of play time, but he was practicing with their first team basically all summer, And, you know, he only played about 17 games for us last season. So he's had a pretty light workload. He didn't play the full 90 minutes most games last season. And this season he essentially got a prolonged training period with a little vacation. I think it looks good for him heading into the season.
Yeah, I tend to believe about 9% of all the nonsense about the club's commitment to him, his work ethic, hanging out with old teammates who now play for Arsenal, and even how upset apparently he was about the signing of Malcolm and then potentially getting courted by PSG. Again, 5% of all of that nonsense might be right. I find that, of course, when all these rumors started, Dembele sat out with Dortmund to come to his dream club, got injured, and never really had time, as you said, to get into a rhythm. And he also cost 145 million euros, and teams just don't sell guys on a quarter of the dollar after buying for such a large fee. And for me, again, a lot of players, particularly his age, he might not need a physical break like a lot of the players like Luis Suarez or even Rakitic, who's 30. Those guys need to rest their bodies, but for guys that young, they do need some kind of mental break. Last summer wasn't a break for him because he was dealing with all the consternation of trying to get out of Dortmund to come to Barcelona. So just getting a little bit of a mental break after winning the World Cup, I think, is good for the player. And for me, I mean, that's, I think, of any player, not to say a new signing, and, you know, we can talk about how important Malcolm could be, but Dembele, if he's firing on all cylinders, he's going to be the biggest addition to the team.
Yeah, I think the job is his to lose. I think he's had enough rest. I don't think he needed a lot, to exactly your point. And I think that he's perfectly suited to step up and really be the player that we paid for. I mean, if you look at what he did in Dortmund and the number of goals that he scored in his last season there, he scored 32 goals. He scored 6 goals in 32 games with 13 assists, and in 17 games with us, he scored 3 goals with 7 assists. So he's on pace to be that player that we want him to be. He just, again, he needs the minutes. He needs to gel with the team. I think, like you said, he really can show up and surprise us and become a breakout star to a player who really just kind of needs time and minutes and needs to get to know his teammates a bit better on the pitch.
Yeah, and to bring that back to the big idea of, is Barca's team complete? And when you talk about him, looking at the depth last season, when Ilex Vidal was getting called into action or Andre Gomes was put on the wing, obviously with the minutes that they took last year, there are minutes to be had, and there is room for both Malcolm and Dembele, is my true belief. And we discussed the necessary mentality need to play at Barca with Gomes last season, but as we've talked about, young players like Dembele do sometimes need to be told outright that the club does have faith in them. And while I am skeptical that Valverde would have admitted that he directly told Dembele that he has some kind of faith in him, usually those things are kept private and they stay private, so it's a bunch of dredging up. But when you just look at the minutes for Malcolm and Dembele, it's going to be transition for Malcolm, and we've seen that, where he not necessarily has the pace necessary to play at Barcelona, but he clearly has the physical attributes and does have an ability that he's shown, at least in Ligue 1, to both finish, to provide assists, and that's going to be his job. It's going to be what he's going to have to do coming in from the wing. And if he can do the kind of jobs that Pedro did, that's what is going to be expected of both of these players. As we transition this, and we're going to get to Rafinha in a second, but when we talk about this depth, Eric, I find it's almost a double-edged sword, and with Barcelona, it's always very reactive, that last season, there seemed to be a lack of depth. That's what we complained about. No rotation, lack of depth. That's what we lost in Rome, and that's where a lot of our listeners tuned out as well for the season. But as we start this new year and everything is revitalized and everyone is re-energized, now you say that there's too much crowding in the midfield, that there's too many people left in the Camp Nou, and isn't that the depth that we asked for? I feel like it's almost biting the hand that feeds you, that Barcelona have had this sensational summer where they really have shown, at least on paper, that they've gone out and now they have a much, much deeper team. Now, instead of bringing off someone you don't really trust, now you have Rafinha, who looks to be one of your first midfield options off the bench. And especially if Coutinho plays as that left interior as expected, now you're talking with Arto Vidal as well. You've got, what, 5, 6 midfielders that truly deserve to start on any team in the world. We just didn't have that last year. So, I mean, which one is it? Are we happy about our depth, or are we upset because people aren't going to get minutes?
Personally, I'm very happy about our depth. I think this is the deepest bench that we've had in recent memory, definitely in the last handful of years. But, you know, to go along with this depth, it's going to be competition. if you just go back to Dembele and Malcolm, Malcolm has scored very well and very quickly in the preseason. Even today, in our win in the Camp Nou, Malcolm scoring is going to put pressure on Dembele and Suarez to really step up their game. And if you look at all those names that are in the midfield, you look at Dennis and Alenia and Vidal and Samper if he stays, and Arthur and Puig, you've got so many options that, like, it could start on any midfield in the world. And if every player knows that their job is not guaranteed to them, that any of these players, if they show that they can go out and win and outwork somebody, that just makes the team as a unit overall a better side to watch.
Yeah, I didn't even talk about Arthur and all my naming of different players, because Rafinha really has been the preseason MVP. He's earned his spot at Barcelona, and it's certainly trusted. And there was something when we were watching this game, because I know at this point people were really excited, and of course Twitter's ablaze with, unfortunately, not so much Juan Miranda, because it seems like with Jordi Alba not having a clear backup, that Juan Miranda is going to be trusted. We know that that's the case, and Cucurella, if he winds up rising to the top as well, maybe he's going to be trusted as in addition to Miranda. But Miranda's spot, he doesn't have as much competition, so I think people feel very clear that we are going to see him in the first team. And then people, of course, are worried about Ricky Puig, and will he make a few appearances? They're pining about the future all the time. And I did see a few tweets, and the feeling that I got just watching the Gambert Trophy, that he does things that a lot of guys don't do. The way he plays is a way that we want players that play for Barcelona to play, and he makes mistakes that a 19-year-old would make. And so he's not ready for the first team. That's obvious. But the feeling I have when watching the first team in that game pair, and again, this is a glorified friendly against Boca Juniors, who, again, were also going at 30%, 40%, and it is really more about the fanfare and the fun, and these are friendlies. That said, when guys were on the ball, I truly had this feeling and a trust, and that's what Barcelona really comes down to. That's, again, one of the reasons why I, at least, would identify myself as a culé, that Barcelona players, to me, what does that mean? It means players that when they have the ball, I trust that something awesome is about to happen. That's that something that not only is aesthetically pleasing, but something that is correct in pushing the team forward and helping them be a better and a winning side. And I feel like when you look at some of the things that Rafinha was doing, and even when you look at a guy like Puig, who's not ready for the first team, that if that kind of guy can compete, he does the right things with the ball and he makes good decisions. The thing about Arturo Vidal is that while he doesn't necessarily do that, he doesn't give you that same sense. Arturo Vidal, I don't want to forget at any moment that he's a world-class midfielder who has starred for some of the biggest teams in the world. I mean, Bayern Munich and Juventus, it doesn't get any bigger in those countries than those two teams. And other than Real Madrid and some of the Manchester and Chelsea's of the world, I mean, those are the biggest teams that we have on the globe. And Arturo Vidal was a starter for those teams. And if, again, I've said it in previous weeks, if he's your fifth or sixth midfielder, you know that you have a wonderfully complete midfield that is ready and has a lot of different variety.
Yeah, I completely agree with that sentiment. And I think to kind of that Arturo Vidal comment, that it's also important to know that some of these players that may lack that Barca DNA that everybody's, you know, buzzing about right now, and whether or not these new signings have it, is somebody like him may just be a role player. They may be somebody who comes in to provide some extra muscle in the midfield, to be there for those physical games where you need to set the tone, where you need to just kind of go in and control the game. You may not ask a lot from Vidal other than to be there, make sure the ball keeps moving when it comes to you, make sure you find an open player and move along, but you need to be there and you need to make sure that these physical teams get pushed back and know that they need to kind of respect the tempo of the game that we want to set. And that's okay. They don't have to be all the next Xavi, or they don't need to all be, you know, just as good as Busi. They can come in and they can play a role that helps this team succeed, and that's perfectly acceptable out of a signing like Vidal.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's also proper when we're excited about the season to be rightfully excited about the season, and we're going to get into some of our predictions in La Ronda, but it's the team, it's the names that they're throwing out, and we have continued to talk about the Academy and that transition, and we don't know when the next time we will see Miranda or Puig in the first team, so I think we're taking advantage right now, having just seen them this afternoon in the Gambert Trophy. We know that Oriol Busquets is on the way back, and while Carlos Alenia, as it was announced today, is going to be registered with the B team, it's basically just to help him get his footing back and to get him fresh again, and once he finds his form, because again, Carlos Alenia's minutes in the first team, as you just mentioned, are not guaranteed, so when Alenia is getting first team minutes, he's going to have to hit the ground running and be, not to say almost perfect, but again, there is going to be a great criticism if he's trying to find his form in the first team. He's going to have to already have found his form and be ready to go when he gets his opportunity, if you will, because again, his leash, because he is a bench player, because he has to prove himself and he is young, is not going to be as long as, say, another one of those more established players, or even, let's say, a Sergio Busquets, who has obviously as long as leashes any player in at Barcelona. You're not going to take Sergio Busquets out of your lineup, regardless of how out of form he is. And that just tells you that we've waited this long to even mention Alenia. That's a way deeper squad this year. And we can be excited about these things, that Valverde promised that he wanted a smaller squad. And while it doesn't feel like that at the moment, he is showing that he wants to use the academy and he wants to create some of that. Well, he wants to create that transition where you go from the youth academy or Barca B, in this case, to the first team. And the fact that he's just showing in the preseason more than I think we've seen in many, many seasons now, that is the intention. I think that is what some of that, the good vibes and the good mojo that it seems like is buzzing around Barcelona right now.
Right. And I think what's going to really help these young players, and is probably the Ernesto Valverde thing to watch for the season, is how well he manages his trainings during the week. Because last season, and it feels like in Lucho's last season, you would get B team players that would come up and practice with the first team for maybe a day out of the week, and then they'd go back to their team, and then the next week it would be a different set of players. The consistency of these players practicing with the first team and being ready for that call up is going to be huge. And sure, he's going to need to get other players minutes practicing with the first team, and they're going to need to come in, but the consistency of these players with the chemistry of the first team and knowing the system of the first team is going to be just as important to their success as getting minutes during the game. So, you know, we all should have patience with them, but it's going to be on Valverde as well to manage his players' training.
Yeah, and I've put myself through, it sounds like it was tasked to do it, but I've watched the two Barca B friendlies, which, again, it may be silly to do, but there's a limited access to the third division in Spain over here in the U.S., obviously, once the season starts. So having the opportunity on Barca's website to watch the B team, I want to take advantage of that. And while I think so much of the onus is on how Pimienta works with Albert Ruiz and maybe even Alex Callado and some of the center backs and the guys who you expect to maybe make the first team someday and some of the ones to be groomed, you do have guys who've been with Barca B now for a few seasons making an impact, like Carlos Perez. And as I'm watching it, my thinking with Barca B, especially with Francesco and I talking about at the second half of last year, as I give this huge qualifier, that we felt like Barca B getting relegated from the Segunda division was going to be a huge detriment for the quality of the players and for their ability to challenge themselves against, you know, full professionals, even more so than the third division. But that said, I think that having less eyes in this sense, but also having an ability to have Carlos Perez on the wing, you know that he's a good enough player for the third division because he's certainly a good enough player for the second division and a first division somewhere, and he's going to be banging in goals. And that is the place where a guy like Albert Ruiz, the guys who are still teenagers, to really find their confidence so that when they do get into the first team, they get into training with guys like Messi, and Valverde gives them a long extended time to practice with the first team and get acclimated to the way that the speed of the game, more so than just going from, again, that friendly against the team they played against was not the speed that half the speed that they would play with the first team at. It's almost a silver lining that there it's a place they can find confidence, and certainly with the likes of Carlos Perez and Alex Callado, who was sensational in the game, and Manchu, and you even go on Yandro Arana, who also got in the game, they're certainly good enough for the third division, and even if they don't get promoted, they're going to be a winning side, if you will. So I wouldn't worry too much about them, because the first team with Messi has made it clear. that Messi said, we're going for the Champions League. And he said it today at the Gamp Air. We're going for the Champions League this year. He was very blunt in the way that Messi always is when he delivers some kind of message. He said, that's what our goal is, and that's what the first team is after. And if the youth products want to help with that, they know their objective.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the objective for the year. And I think that when it comes to the youth team and whether or not they're going to get competition in the third division, sure, they're going to get some degree of competition that's going to be lesser than in the Segunda, but the ability for them to have players that are training with the first team to come down and be that first team, potential first team caliber, to be training with them, to show them that there is a path to the first team, I think it's really going to be on the system this year to lift those players up and get them ready and to kind of provide the quality that they're not getting in their opponents. It's going to be on their, going back to training, it's going to be the way that they train, it's going to be the way they interact with their teammates, and making sure that they're ready for the Copa del Rey this year, which is probably going to be less of a focus.
And one thing we want to remind everybody is that Pimienta, there has to be some distance between not liking a guy like Gerard Lopez when he left and finding that or believing that Pimienta is some kind of savior. That's what they tend to do with managers, right? Managers are either scapegoats for losing or they're this savior. And sometimes it's somewhere in the middle. So especially with youth players, it takes patience, it takes time. And some players are gonna be very receptive to Pimienta's messages, and some aren't going to be so receptive or they're just not going to develop as expected. But again, just a lot of patience with those guys. And we know what the next generation, the next class is, right? That's Alenia, that's Oriol Busquets, that's Miranda, and Puig. So we start with those four. That's the next four coming through. So let's not focus on those guys, but just have trust that there's a system in place. And speaking of systems, it's time to move to the second part of our system or our show, and that's La Ronda, where we've got those questions from the closed Facebook group. Again, thanks for jumping in and asking those different questions as we're going to go through some of these topics here. And Eric, I'm going to have to rely on you for a lot of it. Some of these, as we talked about off air, things that I don't necessarily have an expertise with, but we'll see what we can get through. First question from Gotham. Some people are saying that making Sergi Roberto as fourth captain is an odd choice. I think it's no surprise given he's been with us for a very long time and has been a vital player for the team. Eric, obviously, I even said this publicly that I not that he's the obvious choice, but it's the guys in the clubhouse that make this decision. So I think even if they weren't going to pick someone, they weren't going to pick someone like Sergi Samper to be captain, but let's say they picked, whether it be Rakitic or even if, I guess the best example here, what if they picked Nelson Semedo as the fourth captain? You'd have to trust that the players did that because of a belief that they have in the system or a belief that they have in a leader that they've chosen. We don't see behind the curtain, and we just know that they clearly think that Sergi Roberto is the guy good enough to be a fourth captain. So obviously I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with their choice to make Sergi Roberto the fourth captain. I think if you were to construct a roster of your best 11 and you were to leave the right back position for the last position to be filled, and you were to, just for the sake of argument, leave Sergi out of the midfield and ask yourself, who adds the best value to the team? Who's going to put it all out on the pitch for 90 plus minutes, and who's going to be able to adapt the best to whatever the tactics are that day? I think it's a pretty easy, at least for me, to say that that's Sergi. Sergi knows the system. You look at the remontada where it was Sergi that was going after the ball until well into extra time and kept that belief alive. You know, he's a living legend now. Sergi Roberto, I genuinely believe, whether or not right back is his natural position, whether or not he starts in midfield or where, you know, right wing, it doesn't really matter. The quality of his player and the quality that he brings as kind of a leader on the pitch that just doesn't stop for 90 minutes and will do whatever he's tasked with, obviously resonates really well with his teammates, and it resonates well with us as fans.
And we wonder with, again, him not necessarily being the guaranteed starter at right back, and we saw him in midfield. He's good enough to play there as well for the club. It having that captain's armband, and obviously he's only going to have the captain's armband when Messi, Busquets, and Piqué are not in the lineup. And how many times is that going to happen in the season? Probably none. But the point is that clearly shows as well that he's a major part of this club. So you cannot forget that Sergi Roberto is constantly pushing for a role in the starting 11, and he is going to be And I think that's a good thing. Whether he's starting in midfield or in right or at right back, the guy can start in every match, even if you're rotating. And that just it gives a better option to rotate if you trust him to play in both. And, you know, they always say that, oh, you want your best starting 11 to be the best players in those starting 11. Well, again, that's I'm not sure if that was Louis van Gaal or if that even is a Jose Mourinho idea. I'm not sure which manager tried to make that idea popular, but that's never been the way at Barcelona. It's the whole Cruyffian idea of going all the way back to total football that Roberto can play multiple positions because he knows what the fundamentals of the ways that Barcelona play are, the way that every top level team plays. Pass and move, make the right decisions, keep your head up off the ball, and constantly be working off the ball. And that's something he does really, really well. Well, question number two from Debdeep. With the appointment of Eric Abidal as director of football and the incredibly positive changes he has brought to our transfer policy, do we need Pep Segura to be Barca's general manager? And shouldn't someone much more qualified be filling that position, especially in light of the fact that he wanted to let Puig go for lack of physicality? And that, of course, was a story that came out about how Segura wasn't necessarily sold on Puig, but Bartomeu or somebody else on the board stepped in and said, no, we have to make sure this kid is renewed with the club. And now I don't know how much I want to believe about that. Anything that comes out about any of the backroom dealings. Now, Barcelona, I think in the past, and Eric, we've both been fans of the club long enough, and particularly in the age of social media, where it's felt like certain seasons there have been leaks and certain things have come out more so than in other seasons. And I think this is a pretty tight lip led by Eric Abidal. I think because it's a new regime right now, things are a pretty tight lip. And I tend to disbelieve anything that comes out to try to paint everything that one guy like Eric Abidal does and have him be completely in control. And then everything negative is Pep Segura. And, you know, it's all his negative ideas that are against the club about physicality, about this and that. I think a lot of this comes from conversations with a lot of different people that we forget about. And I don't think it's necessarily Pep Segura. And at this point, isn't he now qualified? That he's been the guy for Barcelona now for a few years, and not that we trust him or put all of our faith in him, but we have to understand that it's a collaborative effort between the board, between Abidal, between Segura, between everybody, between Planas, who we cannot forget, Roman Planas also joined the club.
Yeah, I think it's very hard to talk about the front office or what goes on in boardrooms or in these meetings that are well above my pay grade. I think it's very hard to put ourselves in there, and it's very easy to take something on social media that's just a quote that is kind of taken out of context, or we don't know the context, because to your point, there's so many people involved in all of these discussions, and in every move that's made, it's never one single person just you know, saying this is how it's going to be. Those conversations that, you know, made him maybe not want Puig, or maybe, you know, let go of players that otherwise really should have been on the roster longer, we should have made a different decision on. It's hard to say who was in their ear at the time, who was involved in that decision-making process, how much pull every person had. It's tricky, and it's speculation, and I think really what we have to do is look at, you know, what we can track. We can track that right now they're making a lot of really good decisions that, you know, just look at Eric Abidal coming in, and this offseason seems to be this wonderful breath of fresh air where, you know, our balance sheet looks practically even. You know, we made a little bit of a profit. That those things weren't just one person. That's people buying into a system. That's different people have different polls in there. And, you know, if you just learned about Pep Segura today after finding out about our great offseason, you would think that he's part of the solution, not part of the problem. So it's context. It's a lot of things we don't know. It's hard to comment on.
I was digging in our archives for the show, looking back 1 year ago and trying to see, you get a feel of where we were 1 year prior. And one of the main topics we were talking about was the movement to get Bartomeu out of the club. And now they have this fantastic summer this year. And I think that's one of the big indictments of certain guys, when over multiple years, if something seems to have changed. And I think about how AC Milan is right now, and a lot of the time ownership in another club, it's more cut and dry, where you think about the Premier League, ownership winds up over a long period of time, you can really put the blame on them. And I think with American sports, I mean, you and I are, you living in LA and me living in New York, we have an understanding too with American sports where it seems like over time you can fire managers and fire head coaches, but if a team continues to be bad for a decade or of a certain string of players and personnel, and there seems to be profiles that continue to fit that don't work in a winning system, then that falls on ownership and that falls on the people up top. And that was the worry about Bartomeu last year, that it had been a few summers where things seemed to not be going a good way. And if at its root, La Masia was having, it was seemed to be part of a problem and not a solution, that's what made people scared, and that's what made them believe that Bartomeu might have been, the problem might have gone all the way to the top. And now in 1 year, and now with this new summer and a new initiative, it seems like Barcelona is trying to rectify that issue, and now everything seems great.
Yeah, I think that just shows how complex it is at the top, right? It's so easy to just say Bartomeu out, that he's making all the wrong decisions, signings are not good, this direction clearly comes from somewhere, you know, how do we get back Masia? How do we stop signing Galacticos? How do we, you know, whatever's going wrong, to pin it on somebody in the front office? But, you know, look at it over time, see how they adapt to new personnel coming in, and if that personnel just keeps revolving and there's one constant, it's that person's fault. But if they can adapt and they can change over time, then, you know, maybe it's not that person's fault.
We have a big theme that we're gonna work on now, and these are questions from Minar, Charlie, Daniel, as well as kind of looping in questions from Ranja as well about Luis Suarez, and that he has looked, we'll say, out of form, and that is because he just did come back from vacation. But more worrying is that the way he plays and making those runs behind the defense, El Pisolero, he doesn't look like he can take on those young center backs. He just cannot keep up with them. He can't play the way that he's used to playing. He just looks a little out of sort, and even physically, he looks a little past it. And now we both know that that's not necessarily the case. We know that there is form in there still left to be found. But that also begs the question that if Luis Suarez winds up looking like a weak link, and those are Charlie's words, what kind of options does the club have? And now comes in questions from Daniel and Raja, where will a striker need to be paid for in January? Because, Eric, you and I both know that buying a striker in January is fool's gold, where you spend a whole lot of money for a guy that there must be some kind of reason why he either wasn't playing or wasn't finding the back of a net for another club. And it's almost naive to think that by bringing a guy in for a huge amount of money in January, which is what it takes to get those guys, that he's just going to find form in limited appearances for Barcelona.
Yeah, I don't think we should pick anybody up at the striker position if Suarez continues to struggle come January. I think we have enough competition up front that, you know, whether it be Malcolm, Munir, Paco, Rafinha, whoever it could be that's going to challenge Suarez. If Suarez goes out of form and that competition stays good and those backups are ready to step up, then Suarez will be phased out, and we have a lot of good talent ready to score goals. Malcolm has showed it. Rafinha's in good form. Munir's had some pretty decent seasons. He's when he left us on loan. I mean, we have options. We can definitely manage. You know, Coutinho can move up front. I think we have so much versatility, and our bench is so deep right now that buying a player really isn't the answer to our potential Suarez problem.
Now, Julian asks, and we talked about this a lot in the Gran Pregunta, how do you think the game time of both Dembele and Malcolm will be managed throughout the season? And I think comparing those players, and this is going a different direction, I think comparing them is going to be natural. Of course, they're both young, and they are both brought in to play on the wing. They're both left-footed, so obviously there are a lot of comparisons. But they're both parts of the team. They're both cogs in the decision-making, and they do slightly, as we have seen in the preseason, they do slightly different things. Where Dembele is more of an assist maker, he is more of a guy that likes to pass first when he gets in the attacking third, while Malcolm is going to take him a little bit of time to find his passing touch and to find that chemistry with teammates that Dembele, at least in training, has been able to find. So while he is going to be relied on much more in the first half, Malcolm might come on second, and that doesn't, I think it's a dangerous thing to continue to compare these two.
Yeah, and I think, to a comment I made earlier, I think it's Dembele's role to lose. I think it's his job to lose, and I think, you know, the team has invested a certain amount of money in him. I think, you know, what we saw in the Supercopa shows that he can step up and he can score when we need him to, and as we kind of alluded to earlier in the show, he hasn't gotten a lot of minutes. He needs that time. He needs that belief. He needs that confidence and that chemistry, and that's only going to come with time and being around his teammates and really gaining a confidence that you can only gain by playing through those tough games with your teammates. I mean, look at Messi and Suarez. They're friends off the pitch. They seem to be able to always link up when they get to that final third. You watch those runs that either of them make in, and they're looking for the other because they know that they're coming. That anticipation, they're going to learn to trust him, and he'll find his goal scoring form if he gets the minutes.
And we've already kind of answered this, Ellie's question. This is pretty easy. Do you think we're all set in the midfield? We talked about Arthur, Vidal, Rafinha is 95% assured to stay, and that's not mentioning Busquets, Rakitic, Coutinho, and Sergio Roberto as well, and Alenia, and now Puig, and I think there might be somebody even missing.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
Right. Yeah. I would say no. I think they've built something already. The team seems to be established. And you look at the dysfunction with the transfer window last year, that one of the questions we were asking on the show as of next week even, so that being like next week's show, was who can still come in, who can be brought in, and what are they going to bring to the club and trying to reinforce. And Barcelona's pretty set, and has been the case, and we're not talking about just winning Champions Leagues, but for every team at every level, it seems like the earlier they get their business done and the more established and figured out their team is and the fuller the preseason, the better they're clicking at the start. And it's funny that while Barcelona last season, it was the opposite, where they seem to be so dysfunctional, and then they destroy everyone in the Liga all season long, that I think that is more of an outlier in the whole big picture, that if you're established, you're going to start your season well in league, and that is going to help you when matches get a little more crowded and a little more difficult. And that's one of those whole things about rotation, that if Barca really do have that quality and are functioning as a full unit, those Liga games in the second half of the year, if they're not worrying about a perfect season, but they have a comfortable lead as they did last season, that they know they can put out the likes of Arthur and Arturo Vidal and Sergio Roberto as, let's say, a starting three in your midfield, and you rest Rakitic and Coutinho and Busquets, and you know that you're still going to get at least 1 point when you head up to Celta de Vigo, which is always a difficult place to play, or let's say you head on the road to Real Sociedad and you're just looking for the 1 point because you're up by a few points in the league, or you know 1 point is going to be, we'll say, good enough, then those are the kind of decisions that now Valverde is able to play. And that does bring us directly into our next question, so I'll let you answer kind of both these at the same time, Eric. And Jamie asks, what are your 2018-2019 season La Liga predictions? I'll let you go first.
I think my season La Liga predictions are that we will probably win La Liga. I think that the closest competition is going to be Atletico Madrid. I think we'll see Real struggle. It'll probably be in third, fighting for that second spot, depending on how the team rises up to the absence of Cristiano Ronaldo and their new manager. And I think after that, I expect Girona to do well. I think it's going to look a little bit different in that top six than we've seen in years past, where maybe it's a little more lopsided towards us and it's Atletico Madrid over Real Madrid. I think that's a real genuine possibility this season.
Yeah, part of me thinks that the La Liga finish will finish the exact same way it finished last year, with the top four being Barcelona, Atletico, Real Madrid, and Valencia in that order. I think one of the big things this season, and while the promoted clubs, which being Rayo Vallecano, Huesca, as well as Real Valladolid, all three of them are going to struggle and going to have their issues. But in the same way that we thought Girona was going to have their issue, Huesca, they're a team that all throughout Segunda Division last year, whether it was on the road or at home, they played very hard, and they are a hard-playing team. Rayo Vallecano historically is a flashy club, but they are a very disciplined team, as they were in the Segunda Division. Real Valladolid, last season, they're the ones that slipped through that playoff, but to get through the Segunda Division, where there are more teams, same thing with a championship in the Premier League. The difference is with the Premier League, there's a ton of top six money, and there's a ton of money at the top, and it helps if you've been established in the league. While in La Liga, obviously, yes, we have to be, we have to be admitting of a fault in that Barcelona and Real Madrid eat up so much of the TV revenue that it does make, I will say, that the bottom 12 to 15 teams almost a wash, and it very comparable in what they're able to do with the transfer window, particularly when they're competing with the Premier League, which already closed. And all that said, I think looking up and down, Getafe surprised last year, Girona surprised, and any team could surprise you. The one team that, again, I don't want to pile on top of them because Francesc was much harder on them being from Catalonia than I am, but Espanyol lost Gerard Moreno. They're 16 goals. They also lost another player that scored one, and they only scored 33 total goals last year. So they lost more than half of their goal output, and they lost their talisman up top in Moreno. I don't see a way that Espanyol survives relegation, and they are gonna have to do something and have a perfect storm. And maybe they have youth players that we don't know about. And it's funny, they went on their own preseason tour, but they set up shop for about a week in Richmond, Virginia, and they really did try to spread their brand, a very grassroots effort. They didn't just go around like superstars like all the rest of the big clubs in the ICC. They went and they were trying to grow a global brand, and it seems like they have a long-term plan. But as far as talent, when I look up and down that roster, they are the only team that I can really circle and say, I don't know if they can make it. I don't know if they can stay up. And I think Alaves might be in a similar boat. On the other side of that, as we talk about teams that really didn't bring anybody in, Real Betis has almost done an overhaul, and they're going to be a team that is either going to be pushing for top four, or that is going to be a glorious explosion over down on the South Shore.
Never sleep on Betis. Always watch them. They had an incredible season last season. I think one of the things we'll probably wind up seeing is a tightening at the top. I think gone are the days that La Liga is very distinctly a two-horse race with a huge power gap between everybody else, and they're kind of battling for either meaningless spots or, you know, the season's more or less decided with a couple months to go. I think if you look at the way we've been trending these last couple seasons, and I talked to my Premier League friends about this, it's not as desperate of a gap that you would think as the media paints it to be. I think there really has been a lot more competition at the top between Sevilla and Valencia and Getafe and Betis and Girona. That's the name I was looking for. And Girona, I think you really have a tightening top where you're going to have some real competition, and it's not going to be just guaranteed one or two teams run away with the league. I think, you know, even if I do believe that we have the deepest team and the best chance to be champions, I think we're going to have a lot tougher away games or a lot tougher competition for, you know, say half the season. If you're fighting that top half that really only has a couple points separating each of them, that I think our league is just getting better and better, and it's going to be an interesting dogfight this year.
Yeah, two teams we didn't even mention were Sevilla and Villarreal at all, and Sevilla, they just lost Steven Nzonzi, which is a big loss for their midfield, but they also brought in a ton of players, and we saw they lost their form last year, so they certainly, again, that is going to be, that was the match of the season last year, Real Betis versus Sevilla, and that has an opportunity to do just the same. And I always like it where we always just think of Barcelona, but the Liga as a whole, I would implore people to get involved in watching some of those other teams, and even the Basque derby between Atletico Bilbao and Real Sociedad, which with both teams kind of floundering last year, certainly wasn't what it used to be. But if they can figure things out again, both of those sides, and the historically great side in the Liga, that just makes the league better as well. And speaking of watching the league, again, what a perfect transition. Eric, great job by us as we wrap up the show with questions from Stefano and Henry. That being, and again, this is catered more to our U.S. audience, but can you explain the broadcasting issue between BN Sports and Comcast, that being Infinity, and where we're able to watch the Liga games here in the U.S.? And Henry asks, where can Barca fans in the U.S. watch Liga games? And now, of course, because Eric, you and I both are in the U.S., if you join the Barcelona podcast, you can actually read, and you might have seen it online, that there was a deal between Barcelona and Facebook where there are 8 countries that are going to be putting free Barcelona games on Facebook. So that is great news for those places. And again, unfortunately, the different things are in the UK or in Europe. So not to say you're on your own, but just in this case. Now, for me, I watch it. I have a subscription with Fubo TV, but I know between there's Sling TV and there's a lot of different options for people. But for those who have Comcast, and we were talking about it off air, Eric, I'll let you take the lead on this one. They seem to be having an issue with beIN Sports right now.
Yeah, so before that, you have tons of options. There's DirecTV, there's Fubo, there's Sling, there are plenty of options. A lot of them are affordable. Some of them are more expensive. Find the one that's right for you. Plug for Peñas. Go support your local Peña. Watch it with them at the bar. Have a good time. But with Xfinity, Comcast, and beIN Sports, I don't know all the details, but what I do know is that beIN Sports has been fighting to get out of the expensive tiers of add-on packages and into the more affordable tiers to be able to spread their brand and just be in more homes. And Comcast, Xfinity pushed back, and I don't know how the negotiations went down, but it basically led with beIN Sports being dropped from Comcast Xfinity. And so I don't know how that'll resolve. Generally, when things like this happen, they're trying to play a certain amount of negotiation hardball with them. Okay, go ahead and drop us. We'll get our fans to rally behind us. You'll see ads from beIN Sports telling you to call this number, write this email, click this link, show your support for us, because what they want to do is they want to show that they have a value to the network and show that they are worth being in those less premium packages and being worthy of those larger distribution channels. So it's very probable that they will get back on the air, and they may have to settle for being in a more expensive tier, more expensive than what they want. It may be what some of your listeners already have. These things are negotiating tactics, and there are always options, and sometimes this is just what they do to garner some support and show that their brand is worth it. So if I had to venture a guess, I'd say you have plenty of options, but it's very likely that beIN Sports comes back on Comcast or Xfinity, and it just may not be what beIN Sports wants it to be. It may be that they can't afford to give up the good momentum that they have with their brands. And with the leagues that they have the rights to not be in homes. So they give in and they go on the more expensive tier, but they come back around next time their deal is up and start this negotiation and bargaining room tactics again.
Well, if you can't find a way to watch it on your own on TV, a good way to watch it, and this is around the world, is of course to be in a Peña. And Eric, you're someone who knows plenty about watching and getting involved with Peñas. So we've had a lot of my co-hosts of recent weeks have been or belong to Peñas, that being Mike in Montreal or Victor in Houston. And again, we've been imploring people that get involved in the Barcelona community. And as terrible as it is on the internet and as mean as people can be behind a keyboard, when you're watching with other fans face-to-face, you do kind of remember what it's all about. So, Eric, I want to give you a platform again to give your plug, not only for your Peña in Los Angeles, most specifically, but for Peñas around the world.
Yeah, so definitely go and support your local Peñas. If you're in Los Angeles, you can find us on all of our social media at Peña Barça LA or at www.peñalosangeles.com. Most major cities around the U.S. have a Peña, whether it's official or unofficial. You know, if you've never been to an event with a Peña, what you can basically expect is that you're going to be watching a game with a bunch of people who love the same team with just as much passion as you. You know, we had the Supercopa just last week, and it was the first time seeing everybody back in the bar. And, you know, from a management perspective, we had ICC come to our town, and we had all of these kind of deals that we had to make to get ready for the season, and you just kind of get lost in the paperwork. And then that first day back, and you see all these familiar faces, and people are, you know, giving each other high fives and hugs, and I'm happy to see you, and you remember it. Just it feels like you're at Christmas, and that's that cousin that you haven't seen in a while, and you're happy to see them. And Peñas are just they're families. they feel like a family. It's a great time where you just get to hang out and talk to your friends that love the same team as you, and you know, you can reach out to me on social media and I can help you find a Peña near you, or you can reach out to any Peña that you know of and ask them if there's a Peña near you. And if you want to start your own Peña, or there's not a Peña in your city and you want to have a Peña in your city, there's no shortage of Barcelona fans in your city. They just need a place to go to watch games together. So go out and start one yourself.
That sounds like a good plan. Again, I'm here in New York, and occasionally I do get over to the New York Peña, so you might be able to meet me if you're ever in the New York area and go to watch a Barcelona game. But for the rest of your time, continue, please, listening to the Barcelona podcast, supporting the show, and subscribing as well. As we thank you so much for listening, you're why we do it. Thanks again to Eric for being my guest co-host for the day, and until next time, we'll talk to you soon, and Forza Barça.
Forza Barça.
This season, all your favorites have one home for the holidays. Yours with Disney Plus.
Merry Christmas!
Moana, Woody, Buzz, Captain Marvel, Darth Vader, and Homer will all be there, so make room! Make Disney Plus your home for the holidays, streaming Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, Nat Geo, and 30 seasons of The Simpsons. That's something to celebrate.
Merry Christmas to you!
All these and more now streaming. Go to DisneyPlus.com to sign up now.
What if Santa didn't need 8 reindeer to guide him through the night?
Hey, Mercedes, map me to Kalamazoo.
Okay, mapping the fastest route to Michigan.
Or what if his sleigh could get real-time weather info?
Hey, Mercedes, what's the temperature on the 25th?
22 degrees. Rooftops may be icy.
Mercedes-Benz MBUX technology hasn't made it to flying sleighs, but it's available to you on the A-Class, the GLE, or GLC. And you can get them all for an exceptional price during the Mercedes-Benz winter event.
MBUX Command simulated.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.